from what has been broken in front of them to see Jesus and what he gives them. And we pray and bring them before you now in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you, church. It is good to pray together, isn't it? Right now I'm going to invite Pastor Tim down here, and he's got our intergenerational time. So, Tim, what's happening? Yeah, you can have this one right here. I just pulled this one out of my hat. There you go.
I didn't know you were wearing a hat, Trent. Oh, thank you. I need the clicker. Yep. That'd be perfect. Okay. Welcome, everybody. He is risen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I think in an Anglican church you would get risen indeed, which is where I thought Trent was going to go with that. Yeah, he has risen, and we are excited about that today. We met together on Good Friday, and we talked about Jesus' death on the cross, and we looked at him in the garden and how he was suffering in the garden, but he loved us so much, he was willing to die for us. Oh, sorry, hi, welcome at home. Okay, so we're going to be doing an activity now. As people came in, especially if you were younger, you would have received a sheet like this, which is for a egg hunt. Now, this isn't a traditional egg hunt because we're not going out looking for eggs. There will be some later. Thank you, Isaac and Jazz. They're organising for a hunt for the kids after church. But we're looking around the room, and if you look around, come with me. Okay, as we go around the room, better not face it to people who might not want to be on TV. Okay, so we might find an egg like this and lift the flap. There's something underneath. Trent, could you set that back up for me? Thank you. Who has got one of these bits of paper? Has been filling them out. I've got quite a few people who have been filling out these bits of paper. Okay. Now you've got a little bit of time now. If you haven't quite filled it out, have a quick scan around the room. The one's been done for you. All the other ones are inside the room along the wall. So you're going to match the picture. I've got one I prepared earlier just for those. I can hold it up.
Does that work? No.
This is the healthy egg hunt. It's where you get exercise, isn't it?
Okay, like that. So I can see if people aren't running around because I think a lot of people have actually got themselves in early, which was great. Okay, so we're going to look through some of the things that we've got on here. Press the arrow key. So Good Friday. Oh, look at the stage, not me. Yeah. Tilt that up a little bit, Trent. Perfect. Okay, Good Friday, when Jesus died, his friends were really sad. And one of his friends, Joseph of Arimathea, was a wealthy man, and he had been able to secure a place where he had a tomb that he'd cut out of rock, and he said, let's put Jesus' body there to respect Jesus, because he recognized Jesus as king, and what had happened was he'd been treated as a criminal. And so Joseph went to the tomb with some friends, and, okay, can somebody tell me who's got the answers to the egg thing? What's behind the green and yellow egg? What sort of picture look like? So is that, I'm looking for a hand. Got a hand over here. Thanks, Caleb.
What do you think the picture is?
Are they wrapping up Jesus?
Wrapping up Jesus in the tomb. Okay, so there they lay him with a clean linen cloth, and they wrapped up Jesus' body. And the women were there, they were watching on. And then as darkness fell, it was the Sabbath. They had to go home. And when they went, early the next morning, what's behind the green egg? Can someone find the green egg? A soldier. Okay, let's have a look. The chief priest said, do you know, when Jesus was alive, he said, I'm going to come back to life. He said to his followers, he was going to rise again. They're going to steal his body and pretend he's risen again. And this new trick is going to be worse than the first one, when we had to kill Jesus, or they thought they had to. So they said, please keep some soldiers. Seal up the tomb and place some soldiers there. So you can guess what's behind the orange egg. The chief priest went with the soldiers and they sealed up the rock tomb that they'd rolled in front of the door. and they placed soldiers to guard Jesus' tomb. What's the next egg? Yellow egg with two green spots. What's behind the yellow egg with two green spots? Oh, all the way over here.
The guys are guarding the tomb.
The guys guarding the tomb. There is. The guys are guarding the tomb. I actually probably missed one. And then behind, and then an angel appeared. I really should look at my notes more. Congratulations. So I should give you an extra high five. Okay. So an angel appeared, and the guards were scared, and got one more egg now. Orange with two blue spots. What's behind that orange egg with two blue spots? Or someone who knows the story already. What do you see behind that one? No one's going to volunteer. Okay, we'll just end our service here. Thank you for coming. Okay, Jesus is in the tomb. We'll just leave it there. I am waiting for an answer. You've got it. What do you see? It's the soldiers. What are they doing?
Oh. Oh.
Oh, they're having a sleep. When the angel appeared, they fell over as if they were dead. They were in such shock, and there was an earthquake, and the stone rolled away. And when the women came, the tomb was empty. And an angel appeared. The angel appeared to the women and said, "He's not here, he's risen." And when they went to run off and tell the disciples like the angel had told them to, they saw Jesus as they ran off. They ran off to tell all the other disciples. Now, I want someone to tell me what's behind the blue egg with the orange dots. Another one over here. Okay, here we go. Did you not find it, Tim? Oh, Tim and Claire and Jazz, what sort of youth group leaders are you? Oh, they're probably playing on their phones. Yeah, they're probably playing Crossy Road or something like that. What did you see? What's behind it?
Is that soldiers and some dudes in robes? I don't know what they're doing. You say that? Soldiers and dudes.
Soldiers and people.
What are the people wearing?
Robes.
Funny hats. Okay, some people with some soldiers in funny robes, big hats, and long grey beards. Okay, these were the chief priests, the ones who had said, "Let's put a soldier there in front of the tomb that Jesus is in." Had said, when the soldiers said what had happened, and the chief priest said, "I'll tell you what, we'll give you some money, and we'll cover up for you. If anyone asks what happened, just say you fell asleep." Okay, and they must have taken his body while we were sleeping. The governor won't be happy about that. In those days, he'll be off with his head. They didn't want to do that, but he gave him a lot of money and said, "Okay, you look after us, we'll pocket the change." So, if I get that, they disappeared. And meanwhile, Jesus appeared to his disciples alive. And they were full of hope. Trent prayed about hope just now. They were full of hope because with Jesus alive, the king is alive, which means there's a new kingdom and there's a new hope for everyone. Now today, we're going to be doing a report. The soldiers had to give a report. They went and gave a report. Oh, no, we fell asleep. They took the money and they said the disciples stole his body. Or is your report that Jesus actually is alive? Okay, so we're going to be talking more about that. Trent's going to do that in a little while at the end. Please come up to me with your paper that you've done, and all correct answers will receive a reward as well from me here. So, yes, thanks, Trent.
You can keep that one. I'll let you have it. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Friends, you may have a little activity things and you may have something to do or grab your reward. I'm just going to slide up here, and we're going to continue to look at more of that story. If you want to find it, Matthew 27 and 28, if you've got your scriptures here. Otherwise, I'll be reading it for you today, and you can follow along on that. I'll just get our people sorted so they can see the screen online as well. We're going to go on a little bit of a journey, and it's going to be a brief journey through those two chapters. So I'll find it as well. If you've got it there, you can find it too. But I want to take you back to Friday to start with, and to the cross. Because in this story, at the end of Matthew, at the end of 27, we actually have the story of Good Friday. And the end of it, in verse 57 it says, "And as evening approached," it was getting to the end of the day on the Friday. The end of the day. And I'll just flick that through to there. At the end of the day on the Friday, what was happening was that we see their night is approaching. And we have a man named, I'll tell you the story again, Joseph of Arimathea. Now, this is Joseph, not his father, Jesus' father, but this is a wealthy guy who obviously had the money to be able to get a tomb cut out of the stone. And he had one of these prepared and ready, hadn't been used yet. Any of the niches hadn't been used for any of the bone boxes or anything. And he gets a clean sheet and he covers Jesus and he puts him in the tomb. Then, before he did that, he actually went to Pilate. He's the governor and the ruler of the day. So we have Joseph going to Pilate at the end in this burial scene on the Friday. Then we have the Marys. Mary 1. Where's Mary 1? Is she here? Oh, anyway, Mary was here. Oh, Mary's here. Excellent. Stand up and be counted. Excellency. Mary here, possibly Mary, the mother of Jesus, but there are a few Marys, and that's why we have Mary of Magdala, Mary Magdalene, who we see in this part of the story at the end of that first scene. And we see them. There's the Marys, M1 and M2. They're there at the tomb at the end. Now, literally, the light is disappearing. Literally, the light of their world had disappeared, and he was dead. And so as night and darkness fell upon them, that grief landed with them. The next day, second scene, we move to the Saturday, and I'll read it to you there because it starts on verse 26. And it tells us what happens next because we see the guards go to the tomb, and we have Joseph who's been to Pilate. Now we see the Pharisees and the chief priest, they're going to Pilate. So we have the Pharisees, they're the fundamentalists of the Jewish group or a group of the Jewish people. And they're the law of the letter kind of people. So they go to Pilate along with the chief priest. They're the ones who organize the temple and the chief ones of that. So they're the ones who keep the temple in order and do the sacrifice things and those. They go and they try to make an early intervention, we might call it. As they get there early and they want to speak to Pilate because they don't want any... they want to smother any stories of a resurrection stunt. So that's what they're up to. Remember, Jesus had said, and in this section it says that Jesus said that after the third day, I will rise. And so we have the guards here at the tomb. This is only in Matthew, this bit, okay? So you ready for me? I'm going to read it to you. It's the only bit that's in the Gospels in this section. It's unique to Matthew. Verse 62 says there, "The next day, Saturday that is, day after preparation, that's the day after the Sabbath preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, the disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. The last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make a tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. There it is, the account. Unique to Matthew, as I said. Now you have to make a decision as you read these accounts. And you may know this author, the author of the Chronicles of the Narnias. Anyone, Narnia series, anyone know him? C.S. Lewis. He says you've got to make a decision on Jesus. Now in there, there's a series, or you may know The Lion, the Witch and Wardrobe, you know that? Yeah, there's Prince Caspian, there's a silver chair in there, and there's a few others as well, and it's 7 books, but he wrote them in the 50s. His name is Clive, and he goes by C.S. Lewis, and he said, you either think that Jesus is a liar, that he's bad, and he's lying to people, and he's deceiving people. He is a lunatic, and he's out of his mind, he's crazy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Or he is the Lord, and he is the Lord to be listened to be loved and obeyed and worshipped. And so he says, you've got to make a decision on Jesus. Now you see in this story, you see the Pharisees, they made a decision, haven't they? What are they thinking? Well, most of them are thinking he's a liar, yeah? He's deceived and he's the deceiver. Most of them, I say, because remember there is Nicodemus, right? He's one of the Pharisees, but he's checking out who Jesus is. Then we have Pilate. What's he doing? Well, he's thinking, this guy's a lunatic. I question him and he's not answering me. He's staying silent before me. His life is in my hands. This guy's a lunatic. But there's a strange thing going on for him as well because his wife's had a dream. And he's trying to work out who this guy is. And he's mixed up in all that's going on with the politics and the chief priests and the religious leaders, and he's caught in it, and he has to make a decision. But there's the women, and they're knowing and they're believing that he is the Lord. They're believing he is the Lord, and now they're about to discover that his lordship is over death. They're about to see that. So we're going to watch that now. We're going to see that because the women went to the tomb, and this is the first Resurrection Sunday. They went to the tomb. Then they see that, they see what they see. They see an angel, and then the angel says, he is risen. Give me a hallelujah. Good. And then we have this scene in chapters 28, verses 1 to 10. Now we're going to watch it. I was thinking we should enact this out. Should we enact this out? We have Mary here. Mother Mary. Have we got any other M's here? We have we have a Maggie. We have any other... Okay, I'll let you off this time. We do have Angel Anne up the back there, and she's going to put on this for us. It's done by Lumo already, so you can just watch along. And if you want to check it out some other time, check it out. This is Matthew 28, verses 1 through to 10. Just flick the output.
He is not.
We'll pause it there, and you can keep watching it if you want. Check it out. Lumo on YouTube, Matthew 28. Because in verse 11, they go on, and they go to actually tell the disciples. So we'll follow on in that story, and I'll read that to you in just a moment. So the Roman have reported what has happened. The guards have made a report of what has happened and what happened, and we move a scene now. And this guard, in this unique part to Matthew again, the guards make a report. They say, we've sorted it, we've sealed it. Then they make a report and say, well, we saw a man in white. And, you know, they talk about how they were freaked out. They saw an angel. They wet their pants. Maybe not that. But they probably were, because they were Roman soldiers. They were trained in execution and guardology. Have you heard of guardology? I just made it up, okay? They were trained guards, and they knew what they were doing. And they knew that if they lost a prisoner or if they lost a body, they would lose their head. And so they go to the priests and not Pilate. The priests, they're the religious leaders, remember? And they're scrambling, and they're trying to scheme about what can go on. They're wetting their pants almost too, because they want to put a kind of blanket over this. And they want to put a lid on what's happening, and these reports from the women and the reports from the guard. They're trying to cover it up, and they're trying to shut it down. Ironically, you know what's happening here? They are calling Jesus a deceiver. And here they are in their own deception and trying to give money to these guards. Ironically, hey? Ironic, they are telling the guards that, don't worry, we'll be able to sort you out. They're making promises they possibly can't keep. But Jesus has made promises that he has kept. He has risen on the third day, as he said. I'm going to read it to you. Have a look at this report with me. The guards, verse 11, chapters 28. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money. And they told them, you are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole away while you were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, i.e. Pilate, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews until this very day. There it is, the report. But as we finish up on our time together on this, what is your resurrection report? What do you put down? What do you come up with? When someone asks you, what are you going to tell them? What's the story you're going to tell them? I hope so. The women. Well, we don't hear Joseph's story, do we? We do. He obviously knew what had happened. Jesus had been put in his tomb that he had paid for. And obviously, he had been told, the news had been told to him, but we don't have his account of it here, his resurrection report. We have the women's part, don't we? They report it to the 11 disciples left. The guards report it to the priests, but they're silenced because things of the world are crowding in on them. They're distracted by the things of the world. Isn't that true for people today? You know, they possibly believe, really kind of believe, there's something about this Jesus rising thing, but they're distracted by the house, the car, the career, whatever it is. Distracted by the offers of this world. There's some theologians, religious leaders, there's some religious leaders that their report is that this just didn't happen. It's a fake. His followers faked it. That's the religious leaders here. And we have some theologians even today saying that, you know, they're trying to rationalize what went on. That actually They weren't that upskilled, you know, in resuscitation and physiology in those days and in ancient times. And they're trying to rationalize what went on. You got others who are priests. You know, they're so-called Christians, and they're making the resurrection, you know, maybe he was just resuscitated. You know, you laugh. I'm glad you laugh at that, because it was a cold tomb and things are cooling down, and it's not as if you just spring back to life, right, when those things are happening to you. And there's others, religious leaders of other faiths, who say that that can't be true. But what is your resurrection report? The disciples, the 11, some of them in the next scene, they actually had doubts when they saw Jesus. They're trying to work out how is this all this happening? That might be for you. Keep wrestling with that. That's okay to have some of those questions. But I tell you what, belief changes everything and brings you to a brand new day on the way you approach life and the way you approach death. The way you approach life and the way you live on from today, if you believe that Jesus is risen to life again, changes everything. Means that you trust he is Lord. Trust that he loves you so much that he's willing to give his life for you. Trust him that his promises are true. Trust him that he actually has a plan for you and a future for you. And he actually has forgiveness for you. And he has forgiven you. You live this day with new, and your life with hope, knowing that you have forgiveness of sins. But you also face death differently as well, because death for you is not the end if you believe this. Death isn't the last word. Death doesn't have the sting, because there is a resurrection and a risen life. Jesus is the one who paved the way, and you will rise to life again. This is life and death belief, right? This changes everything if you believe this. But I'll finish with, what is your resurrection report? When someone asks you, when you testify today, what are you going to say? What is your resurrection report? I'm going to invite our musos forward as I pray and close this time of looking at this together. But this is where the rubber really hits the road on the resurrection. Please pray with me. Lord God, we want to thank you that you, Jesus, are the Lord of life and death. That you have risen to life, and we thank you for that. We want to praise you for that. And Father, we want to stand in your presence in that glory, that truth changes everything today. And we pray this in your name. Please stand in that truth if you want to sing together with me and our musos and as a church family. Stand with confidence. Go stand, yes, and let's sing. Yeah, praise the Lord. Friends, this will be a time for if you have offerings. If you're a guest, please be a guest. But in this song, if you have a gift to contribute to the life of church here at ABCH, please come forward to the baskets. Otherwise, if you do that online, be reminded to be generous and give generously, because Jesus has given to us generously. Well, keep singing for the Lord Jesus and give your resurrection report. Right now we're going to continue on in our time together. If you can stay around, there are some of those excellent handmade biscuits that you can have, and there will be an egg hunt, which we'll be looking for these ones, and you get an exchange in the egg bank. But make sure you see Jazz and you see Isaac about that. Got to finish by saying, He is risen. Hallelujah. God bless you.